Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, first chapter. So on board we have text 10. So yesterday we thought of reciting this verse, but while discussing the previous 9 verses, we ran out of time, so we have to leave it for today. So text 10. Tad aham te abhidhasyami abhidhasyami maha paurushiko bhavan yasya sadhyadhanata sadhyadhatam tadaham te bhidhasyami tadaham te bhidhasyami mahakaurushiko bhavan mahakaurushiko bhavan yasya sadya bhatama yasya shradya dhatamashu syan mukunde mati sati syan mukunde mati sati tadaham te bhidhasyami yasya dhatamashu syan mukunde mati sati tat that aham I te unto you abhidhasyami shall recite mahapaurushikaha the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna bhavan your good self yasya of which shraddha dhatam of one who gives full respect and attention Ashu, very soon. Sya, it so becomes. Mukunde, unto the Lord who awaits salvation. Mati, faith, sati, unflinching, translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieve unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, it's a long purport actually. Srimad Bhagavatam is recognized Vedic wisdom. And the system of receiving Vedic knowledge is called Avaroho Pantha, or the process of receiving transcendental knowledge through bona fide disciplic succession. For the advancement of material knowledge, there is a need for personal ability and researching aptitude. But in case of spiritual knowledge, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. The spiritual master must be satisfied with the disciple. Only then is knowledge automatically manifest before the student of spiritual science. The process should not, however, be misunderstood to be something like magical fits, whereby the spiritual master acts like a magician and injects the spiritual knowledge into his disciple, as if surcharging him with electrical current. The bona fide spiritual master reasonably explained everything to the disciple on the authority of Vedic wisdom. The disciple can receive such teaching not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and a service attitude. The idea is that both the spiritual master and the disciple must be bona fide. In this case, the spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, is ready to recite exactly what he has learned from his great father, Srila Vyasadeva. And the disciple, Maharaj Parikshit, is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna is he who believes sincerely that by becoming a devotee of the Lord, one becomes fully equipped with everything spiritual. The teaching is imparted by the Lord Himself in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, in which it is clearly described that the Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and that to surrender unto Him solely and wholly makes one the most perfectly pious man. The unflinching faith in Lord Krishna prepares one to become a student of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee like Sukadeva Goswami is sure to attain salvation at the end, as Maharaj Parikshit did. The professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the pseudo-devotees whose faith is based on one week's hearing are different from Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Srila Vyasadeva explained Srimad Bhagavatam unto Sukadeva Goswami from the very beginning of the Janmadasya verse. And so Sukadeva Goswami also explained it to the king. Lord Krishna is described as the Mahapurusha in the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11 in his devotional feature as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself in his devotional attitude, descended on earth to bestow spiritual favors upon the fallen souls of this age of Kali. Therefore, there are two verses particularly suitable to offer as prayers to this Mahapurusha feature of Lord Krishna. So I'll read up to this and you can, and then we will discuss this much, and then if we have time, then we'll go to the rest of the work.
要增进更深的知识。
Going to recite Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaja. Why? He mentioned the main reason is that because Parikshit Maharaj is a sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna mentioned that he was going to tell Arjuna the signs of Bhagavad Gita, because what was Arjuna's qualification? Because Arjuna is a devotee.
那么在佛教上这里呢，主为什么这个法师用这个讲呢？他要在讲这门整个灵异科学为什么也是因为法师用是主黑沙的真诚道理。伊当心非为何他们，若若不想安住于彼，佛陀心内察察其意，然后想彼得怎么？
Arjuna, I will tell you this most secret spiritual knowledge. Guihatamam. Why do you? Because you are, first he says you are not envious, unenvious. First of all, your qualification is that you are non-envious and you are my bhaktosime sakhachesi. You are my devotee and you are my friend.
主为什么讲，就是说，我现在准备向你讲述这门最机密的灵性的知识。为什么？因为首先你不嫉妒，然后呢，你是我的朋友，我奉献，所以我给你讲一讲这门知识。
So, unless and until we become a devotee of Krishna, we cannot possibly receive the spiritual knowledge.
所以，除非我们成为Krishna的奉献者，否则我们接收不到这个灵性的知识。We
notice that there are so many people who are actually reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. They may be great, even great scholars, but they haven't become devotees of Krishna.
我们发现有很多人，他们在阅读国家上读圣经国家法门，甚至有很多人是特别了不起的学者，但是到最后他们并没有成为这个Krishna的奉献者。And
therefore they do not understand Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita.
因此他们即使阅读，他们也了解不了国家法门和圣经国家法门在这个内容。So
in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to be a devotee. And by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, we become a devotee. And what does it mean to become a devotee? To be a devotee means to become surrendered to
Krishna.
That's why, at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is giving the last instruction of Krishna to Arjuna. In the very preface of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explained that the goal of life is to become surrendered to Krishna. That is the instruction Krishna gave at the end of Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada gave that instruction at the beginning of Bhagavad
Gita.
So spiritual life means to be surrendered unto Krishna. There are many spiritual processes for making spiritual advancement, making spiritual perfection, they are like Sankhya, Yoga, etc. But ultimately, all these processes are making one simple conclusion. All these have same conclusion, but one single conclusion is surrender unto Krishna and become His devotee. Just as Supadeva Goswami mentioned also in a verse previous to this, that all the scriptures are making, all the processes are making one simple conclusion, that is Ante Narayana Smriti. Remember Krishna at the end of life. Why remember Krishna at the end of life? Because at the end of life, we are going to face the biggest problem of our life. And the only solution of that problem is to remember
Krishna.
The biggest problem of our life, death, can be sorted out simply by remembering
Krishna.
So, Parikshit Maharaj is now sitting on the bank of the Ganges, because within a short time, within 7 days, he is going to leave this body. Parikshit Maharaj was a very exalted personality, very learned, very wise, and on top of everything, he was a great devotee of Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj, as soon as he got to know that now the time is nearing for him to leave his body, he decided to leave everything behind and prepare himself to face that problem. And at that time, by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sukadeva Goswami
arrived.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan. So when Sukadeva Goswami arrived there, Parikshit Maharaj approached him for proper instruction. And although Parikshit Maharaj was a great devotee and the great devotee of Krishna, and he knew very well what he needed to do, But still, he submitted himself to Shukadev Goswami and requested him to instruct him. So from that we understand that an exalted devotee always wants to hear about Krishna.
所以呢，从整个这个事件当中，我们就了解到，真正崇高的这些奉献者，他们一直不断的想要聆听有关Krishna的一切。Parikshit
Maharaj was such an exalted devotee that when he was in the womb of his mother, Krishna personally came to save him.
这个帕尔吉王是那么崇高的奉献者，甚至他在自己的母亲子宫当中的时候，Krishna就已经来救了。Ashwatthama,
the friend of Duryodhana, for the pleasure of Duryodhana, wanted to destroy the Pandava family completely. And he, the only person that was surviving, or not even surviving, the only person who was the future hope, was Parikshit Maharaj, the womb of his mother. And he used the most dangerous weapon, Brahmastra, to kill him.
他那个就是努优丹的朋友阿什巴坦，他知道努优丹想要把整个这个他的老祖兄弟的这个传承权和这个推回来，他当时知道他母亲的郎是他们的唯一的继承人，因此他就用了这个拉玛卡的这个武器想要把他给杀。But
Krishna personally came there to save Parikshit.
但是Krishna亲自就显现来拯救他的亲王。Krishna,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is omnipresent. He is present everywhere.
Krishna
is in the heart of every living entity. Krishna is also present in every single animal. So for Krishna to appear somewhere immediately is not at all difficult. But he comes to protect only his devotee.
但是呢，他来唯一拯救的就是他的奉献者。He
protected Parikshit Maharaj because he was his devotee.
他之所以拯救帕尔吉的郎是因为帕尔吉的郎是他的奉献者。He
protected Parikshit Maharaj because he is the son of his devotee.
他拯救这个，他保护帕尔吉的郎，是因为帕尔吉的郎是他的奉献者儿子。So.
From here, from this, we can see that Krishna protects his devotees and those who are close to his
devotees.
Therefore, it is also advantageous to be dear to a devotee. And Brahmastra, which is the most deadly weapon, it can actually destroy even the universe. Just to give you an idea what Brahmastra is, like normal. Normally the weapons that are used nowadays are fire weapons. Different types of guns and cannons and their rockets, they're all fire
weapons.
powerful than these fire weapons are the atomic weapons. Or nuclear weapons. Because the fire, but more subtle and more powerful than fire, is atom. But beyond atoms and molecules are the Brahman, or is the Brahman. Brahman is the spiritual energy which causes the material world to become
manifest.
So this weapon was actually made of that substance, which is the substance of material creation.
所以这个Brahman这个武器呢，实际上就是从这个Brahman这个能量当中创造出来的，而且Brahman你知道，它是整个物质创造的一个基础。But
Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj from that most deadly way.
但是呢，Krishna就是从这个最致命的武器的攻击当中保护儿子了。And
so Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was in the womb of his mother, Krishna protected him. Parikshit Maharaj, when Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb of his mother, he did not have any ability to defend himself, and that time Krishna protected
him.
And but now, Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed by a Brahmana that he will die. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, a great devotee of Krishna, such a great devotee of Krishna, could have prayed to Krishna to protect him, but Parikshit Maharaj didn't do that. So that is the nature of an exalted devotee. An exalted devotee doesn't pray to Krishna for his protection or for his own benefit. An exalted devotee is simply surrendered to Krishna. And to be surrendered means whatever Krishna decides, whatever Krishna wants to do with me, let him do that. So Parikshit Maharaj never prayed to Krishna for protection. Rather, he thought that when I was practically unconscious in my mother's womb, I did not even know what to do and what not to do, what to expect and what not to expect. Now when I was completely defenseless, at that time Krishna protected me. And now, if Krishna wants me to die, let me die. So whatever Krishna wants, let that be. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj did not make any effort to defend himself. And he knew that if Krishna wants me to die now, Krishna must have some bigger plan. Krishna protected me when I was not even able to pray to him and ask anything from him, he protected me. So now if he wants me to die, then let me just be surrendered to Krishna. So in this way, we also learn how should we act as devotees of Krishna. Just like when the child grows up, then he doesn't ask anything from the father. Rather he feels, how can he serve the father? How can he take care of the
father?
Similarly, an exalted devotee doesn't want anything from
Krishna.
He doesn't want anything from Krishna for his own sake. Rather, he simply wants to serve Krishna. And because he knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is omniscient, he knows everything. So he knows whatever is beneficial for him, and Krishna will make arrangements accordingly. Like, if we have an opportunity to get something from somebody who has incredible amount of wealth, and if we ask according to our needs, then we will only ask our limited, according to our limited knowledge.
就像当我们有一个这个很了不起的亲人或者是朋友，是一个百万亿万的福，他有无限的财富。那么，如果我们想要达到我们的这种有限的知识，需要一些有限的福。Like
once a woodcutter was cutting the wood in the forest next to a desired tree. Next to a desired
tree.
So while he was cutting the tree, his axe broke. And he asked the desired tree to just give him another axe. Now the desire tree could get, from the desire tree he could get anything. But because he was a woodcutter, for him the axe is very important. So he wished, oh, I wish I could just get an axe. And he got an axe immediately, the nice brand new axe appeared. So that is how, that is what happens when we ask according to, we ask ourselves. But when we let Krishna decide what he would give us, then Krishna can give us the most inconceivable things to us. Like a person, if we ask, we'll ask according to our immediate need. But Krishna, if we allow Krishna to give, then Krishna will give according to our ultimate need. That is why it is better to let Krishna decide what he should give us. That is why it is better to depend upon Krishna and not demand anything from Krishna. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita it has been described, Krishna feels sad when he sees that the living entities are simply asking for material satisfaction. Krishna thinks that I am prepared to think of the entire spiritual sky, but look what they are asking for. They are asking for just some small material center. Therefore, Krishna becomes very pleased when we surrender unto him and we say, Krishna, from now on, you decide what you want to do with me. And a devotee's mood therefore is, Krishna, if you want to keep me, please keep me, or if you want to kill me, please kill me. What I want is not important. What you want, that is
important.
And Krishna positively will take care of us if we become properly surrendered. And through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that point becomes clear just as it has become clear to me. In the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that has become clear just as it has become clear to me. Like when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn how to depend upon Krishna and live it up to Krishna to decide what he wants to do with us. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, we see like this, the goal of life is to remember Krishna all the time. So we see that we are serving, there are a lot of incentives when we are doing some particular service in which we do not directly remember Krishna or some management service. And also it involves a lot of anxiety and taking troubles in which we are, our mind is not very focused on Krishna. So how is it that is it that over a period of time you spontaneously remember Krishna, or is it that at a particular point in time you can do something? And another question was, you said that.
Let me first answer this one. So, yeah, sure.
那个旁边的那个提的问题，就是说，男二讲座应该一直不断啊。
You see, the ultimate remembrance is not in the mind or memory. The ultimate remembrance is in the heart. Through love. Like, for example, the mother loves the child. But does the mother just sit down and think of the child? Or the mother makes all the arrangements for the child throughout the day? And by doing that, she is actually in constant absorption at the top of the child. She may not apparently think of the child. So when she prepared the milk, making the milk for the child, preparing the milk for the child, she's not thinking of the child, she's thinking of the milk. But that is the ultimate expression of her love for
Krishna.
So similarly with Krishna, sitting down and remembering Krishna is not important. What is important is to express our love for Krishna through our activity, service. So what's your next question?
Maharaji said that a devotee of Krishna, he actually never gave the example of Nishmaras, never for his own health, he never asked for protection. So for our own personal health, to what extent we can, can we put in the imitation of Rishabh Maharaj in Jesus' leader? Because as far as I have heard Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he had said that first we should take care of our health, and then our sadhana and then our service. So taking care of our health means taking personal care. So is it protection and protection?
You see, Krishna consciousness or devotional service is not a thing of imitation. Or pretension. It is and it must be natural. So when we are children, we should behave like a child. When you are young, you should behave like a young man. And when you are old, we should behave like an old man. But when we are children, if we start to behave like an old man, will it be proper?
But当我们是一个小孩子的时候，然后我们的行为举止说话像个老年人一样，这是正常吗？
Or when we are old, if we try to behave like a young man, will we be proper? So similarly, we should understand at what level we are and act accordingly. Like when we are in a bodily platform, let us recognize that we are the bodily platform. And then transcending the bodily platform, when you come to the mental platform, let's act in that platform. Then finally, even transcending the mental and intellectual platform, when you come to the spiritual platform, we'll act accordingly. So when we are children, let's not try to imitate a grown up. Let us not imitate what becomes. Let us not imitate but become practical. You will notice those who artificially try to practice, do something, imitate, they don't last for very long.
Yes.
You see, surrender is the beginning. So it is like going to somebody and asking him for a job. Like, please give me a job. Then after he employs you, then he tells you, do this, do that. And then you act according to his will. It is something like one actor, he wants to get a job in a movie. So he goes to the director and appeals, will you please give me a role? And then the director gives him, accepts him in the production, and then he appoints him in a specific role, and he plays the role. So Krishna's pastimes are like a play in the spiritual sky. And we are appealing to Krishna, Krishna, please give me a role in your play. And then Krishna decides, okay, you play this role, you play this role, you play that role, and so on. And all these roles are played in order to make the drama very interesting. And say, as you mentioned, like Radharani is playing one role, and to make Radharani's role become very glorious, Krishna appointed Chandravali's role. And in compared to Chandravali, Radharani's role becomes, Radharani becomes so glorious, so wonderful.
And in
so Chandravali is playing her role, Radharani is playing her role. But that doesn't mean that they are not submissive to Krishna, surrender. But the bottom line is that they all are surrendered to Krishna, but they are playing their respective role according to Krishna's plan. Krishna even gives someone the role of a demon and allows him to become his enemy. And during the play, you feel so angry with the demon. And you wish that, why doesn't Krishna kill him? Why Krishna is tolerating all this nonsense? And then finally when Krishna kills him, you start clapping and dancing. But after the play, Krishna pats the actor at the back and says, very well played. Very well
played.
Somebody has a question there. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a question?
No. No.
Already answered. Yeah. Yes. Sweta. The mic is not on. It will depend whether you are a baby or a young girl, a grown up person. So if you are a baby, then you simply depend upon Krishna. And if you are grown up, then you think, why should I trouble Krishna? I'll make all that. There is no need for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Does it answer your question? To desire to serve Krishna is wrong? Oh yes. Oh, that is very good. That's what we always do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are praying to Krishna, Krishna, please let me serve. And why serving Krishna? If we need something, yes, we can ask. Krishna, give it to me because I need it for serving you. Yes.
But those he not disappeared,
with one face and see all of them separately. You will talk about it.
Yeah. You see, beating somebody or being beaten by somebody is not really very important. Because they are all happening in material plane. The real way to win over, beat somebody, really, is by loving him. If someone is inimical towards you, tries to harm you, but instead of trying to defeat him or beat him, if you rather wish him well and tell him that, look, no matter whatever you are doing, I still love you, then tell me who is the winner. An example I will give. The people, those who are crucifying Jesus Christ, what did Jesus do to them? He prayed to God the Father to forgive them because they didn't know what to
do. 那我给你举个例子，就是那耶稣基督钉在十字架上的那些人，耶稣基督很对待他，他对待他们的方式是向神祈祷说：“神啊，请原谅这些人，因为他们不知道他们在做什么。”
By winning over somebody, you will get some pleasure, but you will get greater pleasure if you can love them.
如果就是以那种针锋相对的方式去赢人家，你可能会得到一点点的快乐，但是更大的快乐实际上是来自你却爱。
To defeat them, to beat them, you need to be more strong than, you need to be stronger than them.
那打败人家要去，就是能够打败人的话，你需要比他更强壮，身强。
But you will need even greater strength to love
them.
Thank you very much. All glory to you. Go, Premanande.